Acts chapter 16. We're continuing our study in the book of Acts. We're calling the series Moving Forward with the Gospel. And the idea is the gospel went from Jerusalem and it ended up going finally to Rome and then all the way years later here to Henrietta, Oklahoma. And the book of Acts chronicles that. And here's the reality. What they did then will be helpful for us to pay attention to because, again, God doesn't change. There's still a message that needs to go out to people who haven't heard it. And today we're going to learn some things about some needs in ministry and also some problems in ministry and in serving God that happens. We'll kind of catch up to date as we go through the message from chapter number 15. It's been a while since we've been in the book of Acts. And so we'll kind of catch up with that. But let's begin our reading in chapter number 16. Look at verse number 1. It says, then came he, talking about the Apostle Paul, and now he has Silas with him as well. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. We also know him as Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father, talking about Timotheus or Timothy's father, was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went throughout the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so that the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, pay attention to this, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to my Asia, they essayed or desired or wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing through my Asia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse number 10. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored, look at that, he says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The title of the message this morning is Calling in Reinforcements. And honestly, if we look at this passage, this really is how ministry and honestly how life, how church life, how spiritual life should go, how it should be conducted. And we'll see that as we read here. Let me pray one more time, ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we come to you today and Lord, we ask that you'd help us to consider your word today, Lord, as we have been reminded today, God, you are faithful. God, you are holy, you are righteous, and Lord, you deserve our attention today. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts through your word, and Lord, may we be Lord, changed through your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. One of the most well-known photos or moments, I guess you could say, of World War II is the picture of the Marines and one Navy soldier holding the or raising the flag in Iwo Jima. Probably one of the most famous pictures that you'll find. Raising that flag on top of Mount Suribachi there on the island of Iwo Jima. Listen, it was a powerful. Most of the men in that photo, or a couple of the men in that photo, actually died on Iwo Jima in the battle. Listen, it was a terrible battle. It was a quite a extensive campaign. Listen, they thought and they knew going into it that it was probably going to be a pretty extensive battle on the island. They knew that there was around probably 18 to 20,000 Japanese on this small island that was only 2 miles by 4 miles, small island. But there was about 18 to 20,000 Japanese they knew that were on that island. And they knew from battles like Tarawa and other battles in the Pacific that this was going to be a pretty fierce battle. So out of the 18 to 20,000 Japanese, the Americans, the U.S. sent 70,000 troops into this battle. And so they did a typical landing like you normally would do in these beach fronts. And they were expecting to have, you know, a lot of fierce fights, and they were, you know, expected to be shelled and machine gunned as they landed on shore. But surprisingly to them, as they landed on shore, everything was quiet. There wasn't resistance on shore. They were surprised. They came in smoothly. They set up some camp, but they soon would realize the reason why it was so quiet is because those 18, 20,000 Japanese had gone into the hills and dug themselves into the hills and were going, and they determined that they were going to fight until the death. They were going to fight until the death. They were expecting hopefully just to go in there in a couple days, and really 36 days later, they're still fighting. The fighting is finally starting to wind down. They said this, get this, out of the 18 to 20,000 Japanese that were on that island, only about 216 surrendered. Only 216 out of the 20,000. All the rest of them were killed in that battle. There were about 7,000 U.S. soldiers that were killed, over 20,000 U.S. casualties on this small battle or small island of Iwo Jima. Now listen, they knew that it was going to be difficult and tough, but they weren't expecting quite the response that they had. They weren't expecting it to be that difficult. They weren't expecting it to be that tough. And honestly, that was one of the reasons why, as we get in later on in the World War II, that they desired and realized we're going to have to do something so that we don't have to invade mainland China. Can you help Betsy over there, please? So what we need to do is make sure that they said, we're gonna have everything that we can. We're going to do everything that we can to make sure that we're prepared. But the reality happened in this, that things were more difficult than they thought. Things were harder than they realized. They weren't able to anticipate the fierceness, the ferocity of the enemy. It was much tougher than they expected. In a perfect world, everything would go exactly like we planned, right? In a perfect world, everything would go exactly like we planned. In a perfect world, nothing would happen that would disrupt our plans. We would set our plans and everything would go smoothly and easily. There'd be no problems, no issues. In a perfect world, everything would go exactly like we want it to go. In a perfect world, there would be no disruptions in our life. What we decided, it would happen. My day would never be disrupted. At what I planned that day, everything would go smoothly. People would agree with everything I say. Everybody would take my opinion and everybody would do exactly what I want to do, right? That would be a perfect world. But I know this is not news to anyone here. We don't live in a perfect world, right? Plans are disrupted. Things change. Not everybody agrees with me, surprisingly. Not everybody likes what I like. Not everybody goes along with what I want. Not everybody sees things the way I see them. And listen, in life, plans don't always go like we want. And here's the reality. Even in our life as a child of God and as people of God, we plan. We want to do what's right. We want to walk with God. But even in our walk with God, things don't always end like we think they would or don't always go like we wish they would. Even in church life, there are times where people don't always see eye to eye. In family life, there's things where at times husbands and wife are at odds with each other, where relationships are strained and don't go exactly like we want. Listen, we live in a world that is affected by sin, from the big things to the small things. Every aspect of life, unfortunately, is cursed and is hindered by sin. We have our health issues. Listen, they don't go like we wish they would or like we think we would. Listen, even in the song that we sang, life doesn't always go like we wish it would. It doesn't. There are times where things don't work the way that we want them to. Even trying to do right and serve God, things don't go according to plans. We have disagreements with people. The way I was raised sometimes is different than other people that I know. Doors that I wanted to be open in life, things that I wanted to do, ways I thought things were going to pan out and happen, they don't happen. And it seems like a door that was once wide open to us, boom, is now shut and we can't go forward. And things have changed. Serving God was supposed to make everything in my life easier, and now I have problems that I never thought I would have. What do I do? What happens? How do I live? Listen, things don't always go smoothly for us here in this earth, in this life. But we also have to realize this. Things didn't always go smoothly for the people in the Bible. There were problems. There were issues. There were challenges. We've come in the book of Acts to several different issues that have come up that Satan uses to try to stop the spread of the gospel. He used intimidation, fear, to try to keep them from spreading the gospel. He used outright persecution. When that failed, what did he do? He tried to bring lies and confusion within the church with people like Ananias and Sapphira, where they're lying about things in the Bible. And so there's contentions without, there's problems within that are happening, and issues that try to distort or to take the spotlight off of the gospel. We also read in chapter number 15 that we just came through in the book of Acts that sometimes we find this, that good people often see things differently and can have disagreements. You see these two men, go back to chapter number 15 if you would. Look at verse number 36. We see that Paul and Barnabas, they have this disagreement. This is what's leading into chapter number 16. They have this disagreement about this man by the name of John Mark. Now, John Mark was a helper. I mean, he was an asset to them, they thought, when they went on their first missionary journey, when Paul and Barnabas. But as we read in the book of Acts, that as they came to a certain spot, which geographically we can put some things together there, is that this was a tough terrain. There was a lot of adversaries that were there, a lot of rough people. And it seems like for whatever reason, at that point, when things got hard, Mark said, I'm going back. I'm out of here. And he left. He abandoned them and goes back. Barnabas, he desires to, as they get ready to go on this second missionary journey, he desires, hey, let's take John Mark again. But look at what happens in verse number 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. He's saying, we've gone on this first missionary journey. We've preached. People have been saved. Great things have happened. Churches have been established. Let's go back and check on them. Listen, remember, those that need saved need to be encouraged. Listen, we need to be in church. We need to receive the instruction of God's word because it's helpful for us. Paul even said, let's go back and check on them. Let's go back and make sure they're doing well. Look at verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and departing, recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and went through Samaria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Barnabas and Paul, they had a different perspective. Listen, they're both godly men, but they had a different perspective. We also see this. Listen, they had different passions. They had different desires. Listen, they both had a care and a heart for the gospel. But listen, they both had different gifts and callings even. You see, Barnabas, he was called Barnabas because he was an encourager. He was one that wanted to come along and help people. Listen, that was his gift. But listen, Paul was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He was mission-focused. This is what we're supposed to do, and let's do it. And Barnabas, listen, here's what we find. Barnabas had such a heart for people. I mean, he had such a heart that he even took Paul himself in when the disciples were keeping Paul at a distance when he was first saved. They're like, no, this is this Saul guy that's persecuting the church. Barnabas took him in and allowed him to be accepted with the brethren. Listen, we see the heart of Barnabas, but we also see the heart of Saul. And here's what we can find. Good people can be so passionate about what God has called them to do and led them to do that they can at times be against each other. They can think this, my way or the highway. My way or the highway. This is what we're going to do. And listen, I firmly believe that the issue between Barnabas and Saul when Paul was not a personal issue of morality or character. That's what not was going on. That wasn't their contention. It was an issue of their passion for the Lord was leading them different directions. It was. And because of that, it brought a separation. It brought a division with these two guys. Barnabas, he saw people first, but Paul, he's saying, no, we got a mission to do. And this is Paul's heart. I believe Paul cared for Barnabas and John Mark, but Paul also had this mindset. Listen, we've got a mission to do, and this is not a mission that can take people who are unprepared. Yeah, he cared for Barnabas, or he cared for John Mark, but John Mark, we don't know if he's proven yet. This is not the proving ground. This is the battlefield. This is where we need to fight. And so before John Mark can come back with us, he's already abandoned us once. We don't want to take him again because the mission is too important. And Barnabas says, no, we can take him with us. And they're saying, well, this will be good for him. Many of you know Truett Cathy. You may not know the name, but he's the founder of Chick-fil-A, the guy that started Chick-fil-A. I remember reading an article about him one time, and he said this: his number one care when hiring people is not their ability, is not their education, it's character. Character. He said that's the number one thing that we try to identify when we hire somebody is their character. And somebody asked him, so you don't think it's important? If we sense they don't have character, we're not going to hire them. We're going to pass. And he says, well, don't you think that Chick-fil-A can help them, or don't you think it'd be good for them to learn character? He made this statement. He said, yes, it's good for them to learn character, but they're not going to learn it on Chick-fil-A's dime. He says, they already need to know this. That's kind of the spirit of Paul. He cared for Barnabas, and he wanted Barnabas to grow, but he's saying this: he can't do it in this setting. He can't do this. We're going back to some of those difficult spots, difficult situations. Listen, he needs to be not a novice. He needs to be proven. And so what happened is their desire, and Barnabas no doubt would make his case and say, no, listen, how is he going to learn unless he does it? How is he going to be tested unless we put him to the test again? And so there's a contention. And it says it reached the level so much that they said this: in order for us to follow God, we can't go together anymore. I'm going to have to take one person, you're going to have to take another. And the contention, the division, the opinion, the passion was so sharp that they split. They went separate directions. One person said this: you know, Luke, as he's recording this, he doesn't tell us necessarily who was right and who was wrong in this situation. He's just telling us what happened. One person said this, and I think this is a good way to evaluate it. He said this: our judgment goes with Paul. Our judgment goes with Paul. He did the right thing, but our hearts go with Barnabas, right? Our judgment goes with Paul, but our heart goes with Barnabas. They had a disagreement. Listen, they weren't perfect. These were real people that had real opinions and real desires, but they split. Here's what's important to take away from this. Even though they had conditions, they had difficulties, they didn't let it keep them from doing what God had called them to do. They didn't say, okay, well, all right, I can't go with Barnabas, so we might as well stop and quit what we're doing. No, listen, oftentimes this, contentions and disagreements can often be so sharp that it keeps people from serving God. That it keeps people, because if things can't be done my way, I'm not going to do it at all. It's my way or the highway kind of thing. But no, what they said is, listen, we're going to have to separate. What I love about this later on, Paul gives a positive word about Barnabas. And then even later on, he says, bring John Mark with me. Send him to me because he's profitable. Listen, it wasn't personal. It was ministry minded. They're saying this: we got work to do. We got a mission to do. And we can't be hindered and be sidetracked with what God has called us to do. So they had these disagreements, and it wasn't about Paul and Barnabas hating each other. It was a matter of perspective. It was a matter of them being obedient and faithful to what God had gifted and called them to do. Listen, even those that don't see things the same way, listen, they have to realize this, that the work of God is more important than our personalities. The work of God and what God has called us to do is more important than my preferences. And what I need to do is make sure that if there is some contention and disagreement, listen, we can still be friends about this. We can still be gracious about this. But at times, listen, it may mean that we're going to have to continue and go to where God has called us, and you're going to have to continue and go to where God has called you. Listen, God has a plan and a mission and a purpose. And sometimes if we're not careful, our differences and our passions can cause us to stop doing what God has called us to do. What I love about this, listen, they kept going. They kept after it. They didn't stop. But listen, what else happens? Look at what we see in chapter number 16. There's this man by the name of Timotheus, and you think, man, they've got another companion. This is great. We got another person. We came to the city. There's this man by the name of Timotheus. He's got a good report. He's got a good testimony, good character. It seems like God is with him. No doubt either his mother and his grandmother, or even maybe him, were saved during their first missionary journey when they went through those same regions. And now they come back and, man, they have a good report. He's a man of character. He's a man of God. He's a man that wants to do what's right. And man, he's on fire. And he says, man, this guy could be an asset to us. Paul and Silas are saying, man, this guy can go with us to go check on these churches. It can be a great asset. But there was an issue. He was half Jew, half Greek. It doesn't say a lot about his father. It just says that he was a Greek. It's obvious from this context he's either dead or he was an unbeliever, but he wasn't really connected with what was going on. So either he's off the scene or is not concerned with what's going on. But the issue is now Timotheus, before we take him with us, there's an issue, circumcision. He's a Greek. He hasn't been circumcised. Now, okay, pause, time out for a minute. Remember we just came from chapter number 15 where there was a battle about that. Does a person need to be saved to be circumcised? Do they need to be circumcised to be saved? Is that essential for salvation? So they go back to Jerusalem and they talk about this and it's decided, listen, that's not essential. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, not through the law, not through any of those things. So circumcision is not essential. However, what are we doing here? Here Paul is saying, we want to take Timotheus with us, but before we go, he's going to need to be circumcised. Why? Okay, remember, his priority is the mission. It had nothing to do with his salvation. He's not saying before we go, we need to circumcise Timothy to confirm him for that he's salvation. No, remember, it was a cultural thing. He was half Jew, half Greek. Paul still wanted to be able to go into the Jewish synagogues and to the Jewish people, but what he didn't want is he didn't want this item of circumcision to be a hang-up for the Jews that he's preaching to, because people knew this guy was a Greek and this guy was a Jew. And so in the Jewish minds, he's a Jew, but why is he following the laws of the Jews? And so what he's saying is, listen, so in order for this issue of circumcision and your half-Jew, half-Greek ancestry, in order for this not to be an issue, in order for this not to be a stumbling block, let's just take care of this, get circumcised, and then we can go on. See, he's saying this, the mission and the gospel is so important that sometimes, he says this, we may have to do things so that our life and that our culture and our lifestyle is not a hindrance to other people hearing the gospel. He says, I don't want to go to the Jews in these cities and they say, we're not going to listen to you because that guy, he's a Jew. Well, he's part Jew, but he still should be circumcised. He's like, we want to take that argument away from them from the very beginning. We want to make sure that they're not looking at you and trying to give an occasion against you for the gospel. We want to make sure there's nothing in, get this, we want to make sure there's nothing in your life that is prohibiting people from listening to your message. And listen, here's the reality. There are times by our lifestyle, by our actions, by maybe our activities, maybe our hobbies, maybe things that are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but because of that, people are not going to listen to our message because we put too many stumbling blocks in front of them. We've put our liberties and our freedoms. Listen, this had nothing to do with Timothy's salvation, but he said this, if I want to be effective for God, if I want to accomplish something for God on this journey, then I'm going to have to deal with this so that, listen, it's not a matter of sin. It's not a matter, again, of morality. It's a matter of this. It's a matter of effectiveness in ministry. And he's saying this, if I want people to hear the message, if I want people to listen to me, I may have to remove these things. I may have to take care of this. Why? So that it's not a stumbling block to them. Listen, there are things in our life that may be a liberty. But listen, is that going to help people or hinder people in listening to the message? Listen, it could be something as simple as the music that I listen to at work. If the music that I listen to at work, listen, is filth and ungodliness, if I like that, listen, is the person next to me at work, are they going to want to listen to me when I'm talking about the righteousness and the holiness of God, when I'm filling my life and my mind with this? He says this, I got to eliminate some things in my life that may prohibit them from listening to me. Listen, it was a hindrance. But what do they do? Let's deal with this. Let's take care of this. Why? Because the mission was important. Let's deal with this so that we can remove this stumbling block. Then to speed up, here's what we have next. You look in this passage where they take Timotheus and they said, okay, let's go to the work. Let's take care of this. We're going to go to these cities that we've been at before and we're going to preach and we're going to teach to them. And what do? They confirm. They establish. They tell what message has been given, these ordinances, and says, hey, they reminded them, hey, salvation by grace through faith alone and Christ alone. Here's what we do. Salvation is not by the works of the law. That's not what saves you. But listen, you still need to live a moral and righteous life and you don't need to be a stumbling block to people. So they began to tell people this. They began to teach. And it says this, churches were confirmed, people were saved daily as they go out doing the work of the ministry. But here's what happens. These guys, they have a desire, they have a heart. Hey, let's keep going. We've been effective at ministry. God is blessing us. Let's take this to other places. Let's go. This world is wide open to us. Let's go and spread the gospel to more people. But look at what happens. Verse number 5. So they were established. The churches were established. Verse number 6. When they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after, when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, they came into Troas. So what do we see? Here are these guys. Man, we're excited. We want to go. We want to keep going. Listen, there's doors that are open to us. Let's spread the gospel. And listen, all those names in there, they may not mean that much to us here, but if you go look on a map, listen, they're mentioned for a reason. Nothing in the Bible is just wasted space. It's mentioned there to paint a picture. Basically, if you think of this, they're saying this. Okay, we wanted to go down to the south and preach the gospel down there, but for whatever reason and however way, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. Then they said, okay, well, now let's try to go up north and we'll try to go a little bit further north and preach the gospel up there. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do it. And you think, man, what in the world? And listen, sometimes this can happen where we're excited. We want to do things for God and it seems like a door is open, but the door is closed. Boom. Nope. We're not doing that. We don't know how. We don't know in what way. Maybe there was laws. Maybe there was persecution. Maybe there were things that prohibited from them. Or maybe it was an internal communication from the Holy Spirit to them. But whatever it was evident. We can't go south. We can't go north. But look at what they did. They just kept going straight. If you look in this, they didn't say this. Okay, well, we might as well just go back and do nothing. No, they said this. If we can't go here, we can't go there, then let's go here. They kept going. They kept saying, if God is saying, don't go here, if in the gospel God is saying, don't go here, if there's doors closing here, if there's doors closing here, then just keep going where we can. Just keep going where God has given us liberty. Keep going where God, and listen, that wasn't my plan. That wasn't my direction. I wanted to go here. But listen, there's still people over here that need the gospel. There's still people over here that need to hear about the message of Jesus Christ. So they kept going. The doors were closed, but they kept going. And look at what happens. Just so happens. It just so happens, as they continue to go, that God gives Paul a vision of this man in Macedonia. Again, we don't know who this guy was. We don't even know all the details of the vision. But Paul has this vision of a man in Macedonia, and this man is saying, Paul, come here. Come help us. Paul, we need the gospel. Paul, we need help. So when God says, don't go here, and God says, don't go here, then God made it clear, this is where I want you to go. Go this way. But that only came after they kept going. Right. They didn't go back. They didn't stop and say, oh, we just got to stop and do nothing and wait for God to show me what to do. No, do something. Yeah. Keep going. There's more to do. And as they kept going, God revealed and showed him, okay, here's where I want you to go. Here's the place I want you to go. Go to Macedonia. There are people there that are ready and want to hear the gospel. Look at what it says. It says in verse number 10, and after they had seen the vision, immediately they endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It says God made it abundantly clear. Listen, sometimes there's uncertainties, there's plans, there's desires. And listen, just because it's my plan and my desire and it's good doesn't mean that that's what God wants me to do. Was going to these places and preaching the gospel good? Yeah, absolutely. Listen, somebody could justify, that's what we're supposed to do. But for whatever reason, God said no. For whatever reason, God said no. Why? Because God had some people in Macedonia that were ready and willing and needed to hear the gospel. And God says, go. Go there. Take those steps. Listen, here's what we find in this passage. That as they're carrying the gospel and as they're doing the work of the ministry, listen, things don't always go like they think it should. Things are not always going like they desired or like they wanted. Listen, I bet they would desire. Listen, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they're still good, but they probably wish, I wish it didn't kind of get so hot like it did. I wish our contention wasn't so bad. We probably could have gone the same direction without, but listen, even though there was maybe some ways that it shouldn't have been handled, they didn't let it distract them from carrying the message of the gospel. Right. But even with this, okay, here's this man by the name of Timotheus. Yeah, there's some struggles there. There's some issues there. Why? Well, because he's half Jew and half Greek. It's a matter of circumcision. Okay, well, let's just deal with it. Let's take care of it and keep going so that the mission isn't disrupted. Okay, well, what about this? We want to go here. We want to go take the gospel here. We want to go take the gospel there. But God said no. What do we do? Well, I guess we just go back home and do nothing. No, just keep carrying the gospel. Keep going. Keep doing what God has called us to do. And guess what? In His time and in His way, He's going to make it abundantly clear. And He's going to show what He wants us to do. And later on, we see this in Macedonia. God works. People are saved. Lives are changed in this place. Listen, here's what we have to remember. And here's what I love about this passage. Here's what we see. That Paul and Silas and Timotheus, Here's what they were. They were persistent in ministry despite things not going the way they think they should. Despite things not going the way they would desire for them to go. They didn't say this, all right, we're done. Things are harder than I thought they were going to be. Doors are closed that I thought was going to be open. People are still on dealing with hang-ups about circumcision, and they shouldn't. Let's just forget this and let's just go back. No, see, when ministry became more difficult because of disagreements, because of cultural differences, listen, because of closed doors, Paul stayed persistent. He stayed dedicated to the passion and to the mission that God had called him to do. Listen, sometimes the difference between an effective Christian walk and an ineffective Christian walk is just persistence. It's just saying this, I'm going to keep going. Amen. Well, wait a minute. You know what? I started this Bible reading thing beginning of the year, and I've read about 5 whole days, and my life's not changed. It's not going like I thought it would. There's been interruptions that I didn't think. Listen, just be persistent. Amen. Just keep going. Just keep after it. Listen, don't stop. Be persistent. Listen, yeah, there may be some hangups, there may be some difficulties, but don't let that distract you. Don't let that get in your way. Don't let that stop you. Keep after it. Listen, I thought I had victory over this sin, but you know what? It keeps rearing its head. Yeah, I went down to the altar, I prayed, I gave it to God, and I thought it was taken care of, and I was doing well for a little bit, but then it's come back up again. Listen, be persistent. Listen, they probably thought, hey, this whole issue of circumcision was taken care of. We already dealt with that. We've gone to churches, we've seen the victory, things are going well, but now what do we do? Listen, yeah, there's cultural differences, but don't let that discourage you. Just keep going. Just don't let it distract you. Well, listen, there are family members that I love, that I pray for, that I wish they were right with God. I wish they were saved. I've been praying for years. Hey, keep going. Be persistent. There's a coworker that I've been inviting to church for months. Listen, be persistent. Amen. Keep after it. Don't let the things that come into our life that may be different than what we expected, don't let a closed door deter you and keep you from going the direction God has for you to go. No, be persistent. Keep after it. Stay connected. Stay dedicated to the passion. Listen, back in on the island of Iwo Jima, listen, there could have been a time in those battles that somebody could have said this. Listen, the casualties are great. Listen, they were 7,000 American soldiers lost their life. Yeah, that's horrible. It is. That's a tough loss. That's a high price to pay. And they could have said this, listen, this is not at all like we thought it was going to be. We just need to stop. But they didn't. Why? Because they knew the consequences of them not going through. They knew the consequences of them giving up. Listen, the success or the failure of the entire war could have been contingent upon them holding this small little 2x4 mile island. Listen, they realized this. The mission is so great. The cause is so great. The need is so great. We can't let the fact that things didn't go quite like we want to deter us. And listen, in our walk and in our life with God, and in our endeavor to spread the gospel, and our endeavor to try to fellowship and walk with him, listen, there's going to be times where things don't always go like we think they're going to go. There can be contentions. There can be disagreements. There can be cultural differences that raise their head. There can be doors that close. But what we have to remember is this. Take a lesson from Paul and Silas and these people and say this. Let's be persistent. Because remember, the cost is too great. Listen, if I don't pray for that family member or that coworker, who will? If I don't take serious my walk with God and my time in his word, then what's going to be the consequences of that? The issue is this, be persistent, be dedicated. Well, things aren't always going like the way, things aren't as easy as I thought they would be. Remember this, as we do what we can and stay persistent, trust God that he'll show us and he'll work in ways that we don't always see and we don't know, in ways that were unexpected, to say, okay, here's where I'm taking you. Here's where this is going. Nope, not over here. Not to the south. Nope, not to the north. But here's where I am taking you. Here's where I want you to go. Sometimes it may be discouraging to us, but remember, God's got a plan. Remember this, the words of the song, God's good. He's always good. And we can trust him. So don't be discouraged when things don't go as planned. Stay persistent in your walk and in your desire to know God and to help others know him. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.